Radio Prague News.
A military intelligence officer was arrested while taking photographs in the vicinity of a villa belonging to the Ministry of the Interior. The government has approved a long-awaited draft legislation on social housing, and the Prague restaurant Eska has newly received the Michelin Guide's Bib Gourmand ranking. A military intelligence officer was arrested while taking photographs in the vicinity of a villa belonging to the Ministry of the Interior in Prague last week, the news website Seznamspravy.cz reported. The building in the Davice district is used by the Social Democrat Interior Minister Milan Chovanec. The Minister of the Defense, Martin Stropnický of ANO, described speculation about the military intelligence surveying Mr. Chovanec as absurd. Seznamspravy.cz said the incident could lead to a major coalition row. The government on Wednesday approved a long-awaited draft legislation on social housing, which aims to make emergency social and cheap housing available to those with below-average incomes, the government spokesman Martin Ayrer said. The bill still needs to be approved by Parliament and signed by the President before parliamentary elections in October. If it comes into effect, the first applicants could submit their applications for social housing as of mid-2018. The Czech Republic doesn't belong among progressive and cultivated EU states when it comes to ensuring equality of men and women, Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek said on Wednesday at a conference 22% towards equality. As regards equal salaries, the Czech Republic is low down the EU ladder, Mr. Zaorálek said, adding that he was ashamed of the situation. According to Social Affairs Minister Michaela Marksová, women make on average 22% less than men, which is around 6,700 crowns less in monthly salaries. The government has approved an amendment to the law on electronic communication that should benefit ordinary mobile phone users and boost the powers of the national regulator, the Czech Telecommunications Office, government spokesman Martin Ayrer announced on his Twitter account on Wednesday. Political parties on Friday agreed to put the proposed rules on a legislative fast track, cutting the time taken for the changes to be discussed in parliamentary committees to 20 days from the usual 60. They also agreed that the proposed law would be the first issue on the agenda for April's meeting of the Lower House of Parliament. The proposed changes should get through all procedural stages ahead of elections to the Lower House due in October. British film and television producer Duncan Kenworthy, best known for producing the comedy Love Actually, will be among the guests of this year's Febiofest International Film Festival, the organisers announced on Wednesday. Other guests include Danish actor Ulrich Thomsen and Serbian actor Lazar Ristovski, who starred in the lead role in Emil Kusturica's Underground. Czech-US-based actor Jan Tříska will receive the Christian Award for Contribution to Cinema. The 24th edition of Febiofest will take place between the 23rd and 31st of March. The Prague restaurant Eska has newly received the Michelin Guide's Bib Gourmand ranking, which is awarded to places with exceptional good food at moderate prices. Eska is part of the Ambiente restaurant group and is located in the capital's Karlín district. Three restaurants in the city, Alcron, La Degustación and Field, held on to their highly prestigious Michelin stars in the latest edition of the world-renowned guide. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday should be cloudy to overcast with rain and day temperatures between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. Frequent rain showers are predicted throughout the whole week. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, Czech feminists back pay gap strike on International Women's Day, and Alphonse Mucha's cycle of paintings, the Slav epic, has gone on display in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, the first time ever that the whole collection has been shown abroad. Later on in the programme, vehicle producer Tatra seeks to expand to the civil trucks market. All that coming up, please stay with us. March 8th is International Women's Day, and women's organisations in the Czech Republic are using the occasion to highlight pay inequality and other issues. One event taking place on Wednesday is a gathering aligned with A Day Without a Woman, an international campaign urging women to go on strike for the day to call attention to the gender pay gap. Ian Willoughby spoke to Petra Jelinková from ŽENY, one of several young feminist groups taking part here in Prague.
So our strike is sort of special. It's called Zastavka, which is a pun that unfortunately doesn't work in English. It's a combination of two words. It includes the strike, Stavka, but it also means a stop. And we hope that we will get some attention to the International Women's Day, because it is really important these days, as much as it was in the early 20th century. Especially in the Czech context, where people tend to believe that feminism is not really so important anymore because equal rights have been achieved. But the reality is different. There is still a huge pay gap. There is a lot of sexual violence that is largely tolerated. And some conditions are still very unfavorable for women.
In the past, especially under communism, International Women's Day was a really big event in the Czech Republic or in Czechoslovakia. How is it viewed by your generation?
You are right. It was quite big. But unfortunately, I think that it was sort of an empty thing. It didn't really have so much meaning, because very often it was just a symbolic day when women received some awful red carnations. There were some enterprise parties, but it didn't really have a deep meaning, I believe. And for many women, for the generations of our mothers and grandmothers, it really became something that didn't really mean so much. And we believe that our generation, the generation of younger women, should really ignite this atmosphere, this deeper meaning that it used to have. And we would like to show it to women of all generations.
A lot of focus has been placed this year on the issue of pay inequality between women and men. Is that an issue, do you think, that's really felt by your generation, or is it something that concerns more older women?
It affects women of all ages. It is very serious for women who are retired, because when their pension is being calculated, it reflects their pay from the previous years. And it means that when they are retired, and if they are widows, they receive very little money. So the number of poor women at this age is really alarming, and it makes their situation incredibly difficult. So it is really a crucial topic for older women. But of course, it is very important for young women as well, because they need to make sure that their conditions are going to be better in the future.
Earlier today at a conference about pay inequality, Mikhaila Marksova, the Minister for Social Affairs, said that the sexist comments last week from the Polish MEP that were broadcast around the world, that they showed that the women's fight isn't over. I presume you would concur with what she said.
Absolutely. And I think that especially in Central or Eastern Europe, this is a struggle that is still very real. This sexism is present everywhere, and we have to face remarks like this very often, unfortunately.
Petra Jelinková from the feminist group ŽENY speaking there to Ian Willoughby. Moving on now, Alphonse Mucha's cycle of paintings, the Slav epic, has gone on display in the Japanese capital, Tokyo. The first time ever the whole collection has been shown abroad. The exhibition is part of a year of Czech culture in Japan and is expected to attract several hundred thousand visitors. Jan Wellinger has the story.
The Slav Epic, a famous series of 20 large canvases chronicling Slavic history by the Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha, is now on display in Tokyo, part of the Year of Czech Culture in Japan. This organized in connection with the 60th anniversary of the renewal of diplomatic relations between Japan and the Czech Republic. The exhibition was opened at the National Art Center by the Czech Minister of Culture Daniel Herman and is expected to be seen by up to 250,000 people. How well is Mucha's work known in Japan? That was a question that Radio Prague put to Petr Holý, a former head of Czech Center Tokyo and an expert on Japanese culture who has lived in Tokyo for more than 20 years.
Mucha is very well known in Japan. A lot of people know his posters and the work that he did for actress Sarah Bernhardt. Some will be familiar with the Slav epic, having seen it either at Moravsky Krumlov before, where the cycle used to be housed, or in Prague, where it was at the National Gallery. It's a little more complicated in the sense that a lot of the Japanese public thinks that Mucha, whose name they pronounce as Musha, was French. Many may be surprised to find out he was Czech.
Petr Holý says it is not surprising that Art Nouveau itself should be so popular in Japan, given that the famous art movement was itself inspired by and borrowed from aspects of traditional Japanese art, including both floral patterns and flatness in its depiction of scenes. The expert again.
The Japanese love decorative elements, which are present in Japanese art, but also present in Mucha's posters and commercial work. In that sense, the Slav epic will be a bit of an eye-opener for some. It's a later work in his career, and the paintings are scarier to a degree. So that will be something of a surprise.
Takže jako myslím si, že v tomhle tom slova smyslu mnoho Japonců, kteří třeba tu epopej neznali, tak bude určitě překvapeno.
The National Art Center in Tokyo is itself a renowned institution. The building was designed by the late Kisho Kurokawa, and it sees some 2 million visitors annually. The draw for the Mucha exhibition will not only be also the Slav epic, but also an additional 80 works by Alphonse Mucha, which are on view. Petr Holý once more.
I think the estimated number of visitors is entirely realistic, not least when you consider that Tokyo alone has more inhabitants than the entire Czech Republic. Similar shows here have proven very, very popular. The opening night was very grand. There were more than 1,000 people.
And the show lasts until June the 5th this year. You can easily find out more information at our website, radio.cz.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report, and a reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now stay tuned for our in-depth business feature with Chris Johnston.
Vehicle producer Tatra is an iconic name in the Czech Republic and indeed in the world of car and truck production. The Czech company claims to be the second oldest car manufacturer in the world, with its first model, the President, being rolled out in 1897. The first truck followed a year later at the plant in Koprivnica in the far east of the country in the Moravia-Silesia region. The recent history of the company has, though, been problematic, with the firm bought out by its current Czech owners in an auction after facing bankruptcy. Tatra car production, famed in the 1940s and 50s for its revolutionary aerodynamic design, ended 20 years ago in 1997. Truck production faltered as the largely craft production sought new markets in competition with much bigger companies. But Tatra now seems to have turned the corner, with production and sales up and expected to climb even higher this year. I asked Managing Director Radek Strohal, who took over in the new post in January after previously being Economic Manager, what the latest targets are.
I think that last year was quite successful for us. In 2016, we made 1,326 vehicles in total, which is a great increase comparing to 2015. It's increased about 55%, so we are quite satisfied with the growth. Our target for this year is to grow further, so we would like to do at least 1,700 trucks. So I hope that we will meet the target, although these numbers can look maybe a little bit small comparing to foreign manufacturers of trucks, but we are not a mass producer. So we are focusing on some limited series or even single vehicles which are customized for very special customers in mining, forestry and construction industry. We do cover also fire brigades, also armed forces, because I think it is important to look also for the military sector because we have to defend, of course. vehicles are built with quite high added value because they are customized, let's say tailor-made for our customers. The unique Tatra concept help us to achieve the highest endurance and off-road capacities on the market.
Could I ask you maybe a bit about the markets you have? I mean, traditionally, of course, Tatra was, during the communist times, obviously the Soviet Union was a major market there and some of the countries associated. Where are your main markets now and where are you seeking to expand?
Now it is quite different to those times you are talking about. Now the biggest market, of course, is former Czechoslovakia for us, because if you want to export, you have to be strong on your home market, home field. You know, generally, we are talking about customers which are diversified regionally and commercially also. We delivered more than 330 trucks to India. Over 100 vehicles was delivered to Egypt and Jordan, 70 to Brazil. So we are really, let's say, worldwide. And we are focusing for other markets as Australia, Germany, Netherlands. Of course, still keeping some share in Russia. But the new market, which looks quite promising for us, in Norway, for example.
Well, why is that? Because, I mean, it's an established, developed market.
Yeah, we can use there our experience from Russia, from Siberia. So we have truck which is very well prepared for the weather conditions there. And, of course, in northern Norway, they need trucks which are moving mainly off-road and are fully powered. So that's the advantage of Tatra, of course.
Looking at the growth, you've had this growth last year and you expect quite considerable growth this year. How difficult is it keeping that growth momentum, finding the workers, training them? Apparently, for some areas of the production, you're seeking women because you can't find maybe men to do the work.
Yeah, the truth is that we have advantage because we are, let's say, traditional Czech company. We are third oldest car maker in the world, so it's the biggest advantage that the brand Tatra is attractive for young people, but also for experienced workers. We are still looking for some skilled and clever workers who can work on technical departments. But, you know, now the unemployment in Czech Republic is very low, so it is quite difficult to find people also for us. But I think we are quite successful. In last year, we've been able to hire 350 new workers here in Tatra, which I think is some kind of proof that the Tatra brand is strong on the HR market. And as you said, we are looking also for the women, because I think that, let's say, some ideas that automotive producers has to hire only men, it's gone already. And we know that the women are very skilled workers as well, and there is no need to make some difference if it's men or women.
And how about increased subcontracting? Is that something you've looked at? Because if you can't do all the work yourself, is it an option? Or do you prefer to keep most of the production in-house, because then you can be sure of the quality, you can be sure of what's happening?
It is an option, subcontracting, but this option is very difficult to be used. The problem is not only the quality, but also the price, because we are starting to be highly productive and our internal prices are lower than the prices of companies around us, because we have invested a lot of money to the machining and so on. So our equipment now helps us to be highly productive.
And the divide between military and civil sales, how's that looking now, and how do you expect that to develop?
According to my opinion, the military sales are quite high. We are all around 60% of military sales, and we would like to lower it, but not to lower it in a total amount, but to lower only the rate by growing of the civil market. So we are now focusing for developing of our dealer network, and we are trying to expand on new markets like Germany, Poland, and also Norway.
The military market is maybe slightly more problematic in that many national markets in Europe and the rest of the world, they're still in some ways maybe protected. There are some national champions. How difficult is it to get into some new military market?
It takes a lot of time to persuade foreign governments to buy your trucks. But we have a big advantage that the unique capacities of Tatra are well known, and also military sector is able to pay for this, because they simply need a real solid truck for off-road condition, and that's the advantage of Tatra. We are quite skilled on the military field. We know how to handle military orders. That's the advantage, and it is difficult. for sure. But I think that we are doing our best and we are quite successful on this field. Therefore, I'm talking about, let's say, some more focus or still heavier focus on the civil market, because I think that the Tatra Fenix is a great product for civil market as well. And we want to grow on this field more than the military sector.
Looking more generally, I mean, you've mentioned your strength in off-road vehicles. But, I mean, the overall trend in the world is getting more developed, more interconnected, and maybe some of those countries that were less developed or underdeveloped, however you like to say it, are now more developed. They have roads and other transport. Is that moving against you, or is there still a strong market for off-road trucks? You mentioned Norway, of course, but maybe looking broader.
Yeah, this is quite difficult to answer, but I think that the market or the development in the world is slightly against us. But on the other hand, we are working very hard on our product, so we are looking for a higher and higher profitability, not only in the rough terrain and as an off-road truck, but also in mixed terrain. For example, forestry is a typical customer of us. If you mine in the forest, you need to go off-road for a few kilometers, but also you have to go on-road to some, mill or something like that. And these customers are very, satisfied with our product, because they have first numbers of Tatra Fenix, and they see that the economy is very, very good, and those trucks are quite profitable for them.
Coming back to your promotion, the Dakar Rally, you're always associated with that. How important is that as a showcase for your trucks?
First of all, it is important from marketing point of view, because everyone can see our trucks. This year we've been able to win the first part of Dakar. Then came some technical problems, but I think that next year we will be back even stronger. But what is even more important for us as a company is that we can test there. It's a testing ground for us, and if we have some new innovations, we are testing them on the Dakar tracks. And if those innovations are able to survive on Dakar, then we know that they are able to survive in, commercial conditions.
Okay, and finally, back a bit maybe to your history. Tatra was known in the past not just for trucks, but also for cars, some very revolutionary cars, actually, in the 1940s and 50s. Is there any likelihood you might go back to car production, even maybe one-off models just for promotional purposes or for specific customers? Is there any chance at all that you might go back to 20, 30 years ago and start producing cars?
I'm afraid that Tatra will not change its core business, which is now in trucks. You know, serial production of cars is a little bit of nonsense for us. Also, in past, Tatra produced cars which were very technologically advanced, and in their times, it was a beautiful car. But also, we are proud on our tradition, where we want to move further, and we know that the trucks are right now our core business. We are not looking for personal or passenger cars. But, you know, in long term, you never say never.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking more, not obviously mass production, that's out of the question, but one-off models maybe for promotion or for customers who say, can you remake this model from the past or anything? That's not really possible.
The renovation of all cars is possible. It's something which we have in our mind, but restart of building new cars is a closed chapter.
Tatra's General Manager Radek Strohal ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then send a mail to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.